Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome. It is Powerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. So Joe Beamer, by the way, Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney, time is not visible to my eyes. It's coming up on 9 minutes after 4 o'clock. So Joe Beamer did this thing about money and what you're doing to save money in these economic times. And what I'm doing here is, money. And again, this came up last week, and I thought, hey, I got to do a show on that. Money is everywhere, right? Well, you always find a penny on the sidewalk. I still pick them up. Thank you. But I do. So, true. And if you find a quarter, that's like winning the lottery, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Even to this day, it's awesome. So it doesn't come with instructions, and a lot of people don't know what they're doing. And I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I'm a financial expert. I know everything. But there are some basics, I think, that everybody should know. And before I lose the thread again, before I lose the trail, I told you in the last hour about two extremes. There are always two extremes, aren't there? One extreme is you spend as little as possible. If you're driving a 1973 Pinto in 2025, you keep that Pinto on the road until it dies. Then you buy another used car for $500 or $1,000, because that'll get you a lot. And then you drive that until it dies. You only buy the most inexpensive clothes and the most inexpensive food, and you are a miser. Can women be misers, or do we have a better word for women? I got to look that one up. But The other extreme of the continuum is you might know people like this. They might make a lot of money, but what do they have to show for it? Nothing. They don't save anything. They blow it. In fact, not only do they spend their own money, they go deeply into debt with other people's money on credit cards and auto loans and mortgages and everything else. Personal loans, things like that. And those are the two extremes. And actually, don't in your life, have you ever noticed a lot of people that do actually make a lot of money have this ridiculous debt? I told you before about looking for houses in St. Louis and seeing these palaces in places like Lake St. Louis, Missouri. Okay, they were palaces to me. I mean, what do you want me to say? It was just a better trailer park. But they make a lot of money, but they're also ridiculously and possibly hopelessly in debt. And that's tough. And you kind of wonder, are they really better off than we are because we don't really have much debt? We might actually have no debt, and we might not make a lot, but we also don't spend money that we don't have yet. Because basically, unless you get a 0% interest rate, when you pay credit card companies ridiculously piratical and confiscatory interest rates, you ever see that something that might have cost you $70 ends up costing you $400 or more by the time you pay it off? And unfortunately, a lot of kids, a lot of younger people do not get that, because it's happened before where there you are in the student union. You're 19 years old. You're away from home. Very first time. Mom and dad aren't lurking. They're not Velcro parents. You're independent. And somebody says, hey, I got a little piece of plastic here, and I'm going to give you $1,000. Oh, and here's a plastic throwing device. Oh, here's a T-shirt. And you also get $1,000. Now, there is a catch. You're going to have to pay it back at some point. But why worry about the future? Have some fun. A lot of kids with whom I went to school at UB in the 1980s, they got sucked into it. I would tell them. I would try to tell them, but when you're also the same age, you don't really have much credibility, especially when you're wearing your brother's shirts from 1962. So that's an issue. But the thing that I was told, and we're going to focus on one end of the continuum on this one. I know a gentleman who manages a hell of a lot of money for a lot of very important people. And I'm sure you know people like that, too. I'm not trying to name drop because I didn't even give his name. But he says, okay, over a billion, with a B as in Bravo. What he told me was actually very eye-opening and relevant to me. Maybe it will be that way. I hope it's that way to you. Otherwise, I've wasted my breath. Tom, says he, you know what one of the biggest tragedies is with my job? And I said, I don't know, spilling gray poupon in your Rolls Royce? He laughed. He said, no. The biggest tragedy for me as a financial advisor and investments person is seeing somebody who has a lot of money saved up. They come to me in their mid-80s and they say, well, you know what? We actually wanted to travel, but we're 85 years old now and we can't travel because it just isn't a good idea to be in an airplane for 8 hours or 10 hours to get to Europe or wherever they want to go. And here are people who all they did their entire lifetimes, they saved, they scrimped, they didn't enjoy anything. Oh, they might have enjoyed it, but they didn't live at a level at which they could have lived and had a balance. Oh, that word's going to come up again. Balance between saving and enjoying life. Because as I mentioned in the first hour of the program, my opinion, you only live once. You've heard this before. YOLO. Hey, I think I should probably patent that. Suddenly, I want yogurt. But it's another story. But but you only live once. And if you hit the age of 75, 85, whatever, and you've got all this money, but you can't do anything with it because you're too feeble. You're too weak. You hurt too much. What have you accomplished by scrimping and saving everything? Nothing. If a guy who manages a lot of money, actually it's Donald Trump, not really, but if a guy who manages a lot of money has come to that, and he's not 20 years old either, he's in his 70s, I believe, he manages a lot of money, and that is his biggest tragedy story. People who really did not live their lives, when they finally decide we're going to tap into our $80 million we saved up, and they can't do it because they're not physically able to do it, that is a tragedy. Because basically what they did is they deprived themselves of enjoying a lot of cool things in life because they didn't want to spend money. They were saving for doing things in the future that when the future came, they weren't able to do because they weren't physically able. And I do believe that there is a lesson there, don't you? Correct me if I'm wrong, and God forbid they get put into a nursing home. Nursing home will take care of that $80 million in a month or two. And that's only a slight exaggeration. God spare me from ever going into a nursing home. I think I'd rather take the raft over Niagara Falls before that happens. I can't believe he said that. Hey, to me, it's always been about quality of life, not quantity of life. I'm sorry. I have a different viewpoint on that than many of you do. The phone number, 803-0930. What would you tell, let's just say a group of five of your children, 15, 16, 17, maybe 18 years old, What advice would you give them about money and how to manage it, how to spend it, how to save it? Because a lot of you older people told your kids, don't spend anything. Live more than within your means. Save everything you possibly can for retirement. But they never tell you. Of course, you might not live to retire, because a lot of men do tend to die in their 50s from cardiac stuff. Just saying. A lot of women. I mean, how many people do you know who didn't make 50? How many people do you know who didn't make 40? No, a few of those. How many people do you know who didn't make 60 or 70? I'm thinking probably quite a few. And I sometimes wonder, well, in the brief time on this planet they enjoyed, did they enjoy it? Or did they just sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice for a future that unfortunately did not come for them? And then let's just say the future came, and there they are with this huge amount of money, but they can't enjoy it because they can't enjoy it. Who wants to go to Europe with a personal nurse? Probably not many people. That's not a lot of fun. And you don't want to be in Jamaica right now, I'll say that much, because of the hurricane. And I believe, remember I said balance was going to come into this? Personally, I happen to believe that balance is a very important thing. And it also, and I'm going to run this by you, see what you guys have to say about this. Because I do believe that it is absolutely important to save for the future, right? I think it's important to have something set aside for a rainy day, because nothing, remember I said before, nothing is guaranteed in life. We have no idea how long we're going to live. We have no idea how long we're going to be employed, how long we're going to have a certain income level. We simply don't know. And that being said, because there is the possibility that you're going to have a long and healthy life, the last thing you want to do is eat cat food after you retire. I think we can all agree on that. Though I think we can also agree, cat owners, that Sheba stuff looks pretty good. I can't deny that. So anyway, there are some things you simply can't deny. But I do think it is important, because you only live once, that if you are able to do it, that you enjoy some of what you earn. I'm not saying you blow your entire paycheck and you can't wait for 2 weeks to go by so they can refill the coffers and you blow it again real fast. I'm not saying that. I do believe it is important to set aside for retirement. And you can do your own calculations or work with your investment advisor, your financial advisor, about here's the lifestyle you want after you're no longer working, and how much do you need to save for that? Can you actually make that happen for your future? I think that is important, because if you do live to retirement, let's say you actually work till 67 and you get the full Social Security benefit, because full retirement age is 67, as I'm sure most of you are very well aware. I'm talking about Social Security there, and not talking about a 20-year and out job, which, again, people do. And there's a reason. No, everything in life is a trade-off. Let me simply say that. But getting back on the trail here, you are not guaranteed anything, and it is important to have something set aside that is going to allow you to have a comfortable life. It's not going to be perhaps as comfortable as when you had a steady income every month, every couple of weeks, every week coming in, but it can be combined with a supplemental income such as Social Security. And let me simply say, and Joe Beamer was talking about this with me earlier, unfortunately, a lot of people believe, because they haven't run the numbers. I don't like running numbers. Numbers are my arch enemy, in case you don't know. Hold on for just a moment. 803-0930. Is this resonating with you guys? Because sometimes I say stuff and it resonates. This should be resonating with every one of you and anybody who's had to listen to your parents give you advice on stuff like this. You can be 90 years old and you still remember what your parents said about this stuff. I might be your father. You don't know. Pasquale Maggiore is behind the glass at Master Control, and Pasquale is an amazing guy. He is one of the WBEN staffers who slept at the radio station and worked endless hours during the blizzard of 2022. There are about 8 to 10 of us at WBEN who roomed together for extended periods of time during that storm. And you want to see dedicated professionals? Pasquale Maggiore is one of those. You're not going to see him. You might hear him from time to time. Let's go to Todd in Elma. on News Radio 930 WBEN. Todd, we're talking about advice that you would give to young people about money, and I've addressed a couple of ends of the continuum, the people who make a lot and then blow it, and the people who just don't even live, and they've got all this money, but at the end of their lives, they didn't do anything.
Yeah, it's a funny situation, right? Because so many people can live within their means and don't. My oldest is in college now, and we want to have her take out loans because there's no free rides in our house. We covered some, but she's got to cover a little. Until I found out, when I co-signed for her, now my credit score is somewhere between 775 and 800. They wanted to hit us with 14% interest on $8,000. So I said to my wife, how many payments and what's the payment amount? Because if everybody makes minimum payments, I want to know. That $8,000 became $22,000.
Yeah, of course.
I told my daughter, you will be paying the First National Bank of Dad because there's no way in hell you're paying somebody 14 grand. I'm sorry, yeah, 14 grand in interest on an $8,000 loan.
But Todd, would you be my father as well, just out of curiosity?
Listen, I don't have much more than the 8 grand, so you're out of luck.
Sorry.
But, you know, you go and talk to these kids, at least I do, and you find out what they're hearing, like, from counselors and at school. Nobody's talking this. Nobody's teaching these kids, you know, yeah, you go and you take out all this money and it's going to cost you X, Y, Z.
Oh, Todd, you know what, my friend? I need to speak with you further after the news at 4:30. May I entreat you to stay on with us? Because you and I speak the same language, and I want you to be able to pontificate, that's our word of the day apparently, about how you arrived at the conclusions you did on money. In particular, you co-signed, and number two, no free ride for your kid. Number three, nobody is talking about this stuff in schools. Would you be so kind?
As long as you don't ask me to spell pontificate, sure.
This is why I'm not allowed on certain airlines. Todd, hold on, if you would. 803-0930. I love this topic, in case you can't tell. I'm like totally fired up for it because this is my language. And I had a conversation today, or I'm sorry, I had a conversation, not today, it was a few days back, with the guy who manages all that money. And it is a continuing issue for him. It really weighs on him, the idea that people did not even live their lives, yet at the end of their lives, they suddenly want to start living, but they can't because they can't walk. I'm just saying, makes things a little bit tough. And hey, my dad was a double amputee by the time he died, so I'm not insulting anybody, not making fun of anybody. I don't do that. You got a physical disability, you got a physical disability. Whatever. I'm sorry for you, but you don't want sympathy. What you want is to have a beer with me. That's all.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you can never go wrong with Led Zeppelin. And you also can't go wrong with Jimi Hendrix. Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Although people in France at one of his early concerts, Jimi Hendrix cleared the hall. I think he actually opened for Led Zeppelin, but who cares? WBEN, Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time is 4:38. And let's get back to Todd in Elma. If you're just joining us, the idea of money came up last week, and I thought, We've got to do that as a topic. And talking about the financial stuff that you may have learned from your elders or what you would teach your kids today about finances. I've talked about two ends of the continuum, two ends of the spectrum. Number one, the people who save, save, save. Then they're 80 years old, 85. They want to do something, but they can't do something. They can't do anything because they're just not physically up to it. Then there are the people who just spend, spend, spend. They make a lot, but they spend a lot. Examples may be found if you go back in history at professional athletes. They've got a terrible reputation for that. They make tons of money, they retire, and they're broke. Ask Larry Bird. Great story from Larry Bird. Let's get back to Todd in Elma. Todd was talking about, education debt, because his daughter you said $8,000 was the principal, and had she waited until the term of the loan was expired, it would have been in the $20,000 range?
Yeah, $22,000. It's not taught, and I don't understand why. To be totally honest, some of what we're blessed and they teach it, and I'm not giving them a plug, but the financial guys.
Oh, yeah.
I've worked with them on teaching Dave Ramsey stuff. He's not on the air locally, but you can find him on the internet. And it helped us to correct what we were doing wrong. And that's why we started teaching it. But, you know, again, nobody talks about, like, the rate of return and the current costs of schools.
To be very honest, Todd, I wouldn't say nobody, because unfortunately or fortunately, I've kind of gained a reputation as being anti-college. And not going to lie, I actually take some pride in that, because if people think twice about whether their kids really need to go to college and rack up all that debt, I think I've done my job. I think some people need to go to college. Obviously, a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, and a lot of professions, you do need higher education. But a lot of people are out there with their college degrees. I worked with a guy once who went to Harvard, graduated from Harvard, and sorry to say, last I saw him, he was making minimum wage.
Yes, and I agree with that. Honestly, I'm a big Mike Rowe fan. I make a good buck now, but I worked a lot when I was a kid because I was bored. It's not that I jumped job to job. I would just work multiple jobs in different areas because I wanted to learn. I was intrigued. But Mike Rowe has, I believe it's either 10 or 20, I'll call them work commandments, and you sign to agree it to get into his little system, and I'd love to see the schools bring it on. If you Google it, it's easy to find. But I told my kids flat out, I'm like, listen, we are better financially than a lot of people that went to college. I didn't go. I mean, my parents were self-employed. I just wanted to work. My rule was get out of my way and let me go. And, you know, I try to talk to some of the kids around me and say, hey, your degree is going to be this. What's your income going to be? What's your earning potential? Is it worth it? Because
hey,
I agree with
you.
If you want to be a doctor.
Forgive the interruption, but honestly, you are a goldmine with whom to speak, because you are exactly the kind of person I wanted to call today, and I hope there are others listening who may agree. I hope they agree, but if they disagree, that's fine as well, because you're a real guy. You're a salt of the earth guy. I can tell that just in the brief time we've talked, and I do want to hear from other people too, and you're not going anywhere. Hold on. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. You talked about the fact that nobody talks about money anymore, and I need to agree with you 1,000,000%, which actually isn't possible, but 100%, because I will tell you that most of what I learned about how to balance a checkbook, how to not go deeply into debt, or at least if you're going to go into debt, know exactly what you're getting into at that point. I got to tell you, Benjamin Franklin Junior High School, that's what it was called back then. We had a guy who taught what they called business named Mr. Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E. I learned more from that man about stuff like that than from any other single human being, okay? And I'm amazed that they don't seem to have classes like that. It was like home economics for your checkbook, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it needs to be brought back. And honestly, that's where I started with, they called it business math when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a ton from that. And honestly, we've never talked to our kids. We didn't do baby talk, like from literally when day one, we talked to them like adults. And I think my favorite example was Shaquille O'Neal. He'll hold up, my percentages might be wrong. He hold up a dollar, rip it in half, right? He's like, this half, you save or invest. You know, this quarter is for your bills. And this last 25%, you blow it like a drunkard at port. So that way you are not denying yourself anything. You are setting yourself up for everything you need. And it was one of the greatest examples. Like I said, I use it with my kids.
Well, you mentioned basketball, and you've kind of led me into something that I wanted to say, so I'll make this as brief as possible, because Shaquille O'Neal is a brilliant man. He's a tremendous businessman, as he was a phenomenal basketball player. There is another guy I mentioned earlier, Larry Bird. In fact, I'm pretty sure that the state of Indiana should just be called Bird USA, because everything in Indiana is based on Larry Bird, I'm convinced. Larry Bird would tell his teammates during his playing career, you guys have got to save money. You're going out, you're buying all this bling, you're buying a fleet of fancy cars. Do you not understand that your career is very limited and these multi-million dollar paychecks are not a forever thing? You're not going to work until you're 65 in the NBA. You're not even going to be there at 40 years old. And the guys used to laugh at Larry Bird. Larry Bird lived very frugally and modestly. Don't get me wrong. He enjoys and enjoyed his life, but he didn't spend profligately. Ooh, that's another word for you. Damn. So I'm just filled with words today. So anyway, what happens now, right after he retired, and Larry Bird will tell the story much better than I, obviously, but he wasn't available today, so you're stuck with me. Larry Bird talks all the time, actually, about guys with whom he played who now contact him and say, hey, Larry, can you help a teammate out? I need some money. And he says no. He has never let a former teammate have any money, because what he says is, I told you to save your money. You didn't listen. You laughed at me. I'm not going to give you money now.
So that story leads me to, back in the day, one of the money jobs I did was I sold cars. And when I sold cars, you had to be the first one to that client to get it. So it was me and another fella, and he beat me to it. But I still talked with, because there's a couple extra people. So I just kind of entertained people because it was a slow day that were with this guy. Three Bills players. One was buying two Maximas, one for him and one for his mama. Twins, same thing, fully loaded. The other two were picking on him. And they're like, I can't believe you're buying this cheap thing, dot, 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 dot. He's like, gentlemen, I'm spending less for two better quality vehicles than the one that you each bought. And my money will last me way longer than yours. And I guarantee if I could figure out who those three were, the guy buying the Maximus, him and his family are set, and the other two are probably working Refrigerator Perry's construction job when he gave it up.
You know what? You're so right. And I don't know if the professional sports leagues or teams where the huge money is paid, I don't know if they consider it their business to bring somebody in to say, like, here's what not to do in social media. Here's what not to do with your finances. And let's face it, there's a lot of con artists who are going to migrate to big money because, you know, obviously, you go for the easiest pickings and the big money people instead of wasting your time with peanuts. But I hope that the leagues are better now than they used to be at educating their players and saying, look, you've got maybe a 5 or 10 year window where you're going to make a lot of money. If you blow it, you're going to be screwed, and nobody's going to feel sorry for you.
So I can tell you the Bills do now, because what I do for a living, I deal with some of the coaches and that, because I had actually offered to come in with, you know, the Finn guys and teach some of the Ramsey stuff. And the coach said, believe it or not, we've actually started to do that. So
I
don't know if all the leagues do it, but I know at the very least the Bills do it.
Well, I'm very happy to hear that. I mean, look, not that these guys are going to have either of us over for a barbecue, but at least they should know that their careers are limited. Their huge money days are limited. Again, I mean, they can always do something else, like Shaquille O'Neal. You mentioned him earlier. And Larry Bird. They were very responsible with what they made and what they spent. And the result is apparent today to anybody who takes a look at those two. And there are some other athletes who've done that. But the I'm happy to hear that. But, you know, getting away from the professional athletes, Todd, most of us, of course, are not in that league, literally and figuratively. Most of us do not make the kind of money that they make, but we make what we make, and you still got to know what you're supposed to do with it and how to manage it in a proper and responsible way. And now you said, and I found this interesting, when, at the beginning of your call, we're talking to Todd and Elma, by the way, about the financial situation, the financial words of wisdom he's passed on to, in this case, his daughter, and maybe what he got passed on to him, because... And I agree with Todd 100% that we need to educate people at a young age. I learned in junior high school just basic things like a checkbook. Here's what interest does to a purchase. You really want to go into debt for something? And a lot of times I think the answer is absolutely no. But you said something about your daughter took out the loan. You did co-sign for a loan, but you didn't want to give a free ride. Can you explain? Because I didn't either, and I did not give a free ride at all. What led you to make that decision?
We've talked about money since they were kids, right? When my daughter was six, she started saving for her first car because she liked cars. And she's like, yeah, when do I get to get a car? I'm like, when you're 16, and for the record, you're buying your own. And literally, both of my kids started saving around 6 years old. So when they were 16, they were one of... probably a number of kids I can count on one hand in their high school that bought their own car. So, you know, and the good news is that pays off in spades, because I know the national averages. My one daughter has more money in investment than the average American, and she's still in college. And the other one is not far behind. So,
Todd, just hold on, because seriously, you're like the 24 karat gold caller today. You set the standard very high. So I want to finish this out with you. But what you're saying, I think, is so incredibly valuable. I mean, let's put it this way. What you taught your children obviously has worked great, because in an era where a lot of 30-year-olds have ridiculous amounts of debt, like I've never had in my life, except maybe a house, your kids are very responsible because they learned it from somewhere. Get right back to Todd and Elma. Let's go to maybe Todd and I could buy Kodiak Jacks and make those peppers. Oh, and this came up last week, and I thought, you know what? We got to do that as a topic. What have you and what will you, what would you teach? Let's just say you had five kids. They're your kids or grandkids. They've gathered around you and said, Grandma, Grandpa, Mom, Dad, tell us what to do with money. And let's get back to Todd in Elma. Todd, we're talking about your kids, obviously having learned a lot from you. It's got to be very gratifying that in an era where people expect instant gratification, and a lot of people a lot older than your children get a paycheck and they just blow it. It's got to be gratifying. Your kids are so responsible with bread.
Well, and it lays over to other things too, which is a blessing, you know. They rock. I mean, do you worry because they're kids? Absolutely. I can still screw up, and, you know, my mom's still around to see her kids screw up, right? So we can make a mistake at any point, but I think just laying the foundation was what was important. And I can tell you, like, I think the best example is my kid wanted to buy a shiny car, and I'm like, kid, who are you trying to impress, right? It needs to start and stop safely. That's the only two things a car's got to do. And I says, other than that, you're trying to impress somebody you probably don't even like. So what do you care about that car?
Okay. You know, it's funny because I'm pretty sure you actually might be my dad, because my old man used to say all the time, and I think people listening, you guys can relate to this, what the hell do you want to buy a car for at your age? Because a car is just a piece of metal that just depreciates in the driveway. Of course, he was right about that, but this also gets into a very interesting area. I want your quick thoughts on this, Todd. Balancing what I got into before with the extremes. The idea that, yes, of course you need to save for a rainy day and save for retirement. But if, on the other hand, you only live once. And what's the point in being 70 or 80 years old with a ton of money, but you can't do anything with it? You can't enjoy it because you're just not physically able to.
Well, I just dive back into Shaquille O'Neal, 25% to live like a baller, right? Both of my kids have been to Europe. I'm going to be going soon. You know, I was blessed to take my family on one big trip to Hawaii, which people do it all the time. But, you know, for me, it was a big deal to do it once because of the cost, right? But we've done a bunch of little trips. We've lived. We just haven't lived outside of our means.
Wow.
I had that is awesome. Client once that made $50,000 a month. I needed $5,000 from them. They couldn't give me $5,000.
Yes. That's, but again, you know what, that is illustrative of the point I tried to illustrate before about the people who make a ton of money, but they basically urinate it all away.
Yeah. So there's a happy medium, you know, and I have never been perfect with money. It took me a long time to figure it out.
Hey Todd, you ever get the feeling that most of life is just finding a happy balance in the middle somewhere?
100%.
Not just finances, but pretty much anything. Todd, oh, yeah. It has been a good and great pleasure to speak with you. I'm grateful for your time, and I hope that we can have the pleasure of chatting again at some point.
Sounds good. Enjoy the day, Tom.
Anything you wanted to say that I might not have specifically asked?
Money's like tequila. You need to find the even balance. Easy on that.
Actually, Todd, that was a mistake because I just have to tell you something. You're talking to a guy who used to easily get through a bottle of tequila every single day.
Well,
never affected me. True story.
I
know I wasn't an alcoholic because I drank too much.
I enjoy my tequila. That's why I told you need an even balance.
A favorite brand would be?
Oh, lately it's Lalo. And L-A-L-O, it's a very inexpensive bottle, but for the money, holy smokes, is it good.
Well, I must tell you that as far as the moderately priced stuff, Patron is my favorite, but there's that one in the fancy bottle, the ceramic bottle, Azul, which, frankly, that's like drinking water. Thank you, Todd. I appreciate hearing from you.
All right. Shots soon, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. Great. Who else is thirsty now? And those of you who are alcoholic, I'm sorry that came up. I'm not trying to make your life miserable. But if it means anything to you, it was nothing for me to say, yeah, you know what? I got really fat. And maybe this alcohol is, maybe that's part of why I got fat. I'm going to lay off of it. So, you know, I might have a shot a day, shot every other day. I mean, that's about it. And just not, alcohol is just not a big part of my life. And, It's kind of funny because I'll tell that to people. Oh, are you an alcoholic? No, because I'm going to have a shot right now and I'm not going to consume the entire bottle. I can responsibly enjoy it. Weird, huh? Anyway, it is 4:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I am actually, you should know this, I am addicted to something. I am addicted to love. Robert Palmer, anybody? Okay. Might as well face. Okay, I'll be quiet.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.